Hi everyone, Daniel Ramsey here, the CEO of MyOutDesk and the host of Scale the Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to having conversations that unlock the exact formula and strategies multi-million and billion-dollar companies use to scale their business. You can visit me on our website at scalethepodcast.com or listen to this podcast on iTunes or Google Play.
How do you make your first $1 million in revenue and start a business? I'm super excited because I'm passionate about growing and scaling businesses. I was curious, like, hey, what's our monthly revenue going to be? This month, we're going to do over $5 million in revenue. And I'm telling you that not to brag, but to say why this topic matters. And I was in the hot tub the other day thinking through this topic. I'm like, how am I going to approach this? What am I going to say? And I realized I'm not scared of starting and growing another business to a million. We have five different portfolio companies, businesses that I'm a founder of and run. And what I want to do is go through the step-by-step process with context about how I would start another business and what I would do to scale it and grow it so we could cross that $1 million mark. Okay, so being an entrepreneur or a founder of a business is very simple. The number one step is you have to do something differently. You have to view the world differently. You have to think through a problem differently. You actually have to solve a problem that nobody else has solved or build a better mousetrap. Meaning, you know, the first business that I ever started, and I was an amateur, and this is 20 years ago, I bought a house and I hated the way that the real estate agent actually sold me the house. And I thought, gosh, that guy made a lot of money. He wasn't very good. I didn't really like him. And man, he made $12,000 selling me one house. I can do a better job. And I want to hone in on that I could do a better job, because that's the emotion or feeling that we get as an entrepreneur when we launch a business. Same thing happened with construction. I hired a contractor. He was dishonest, lied, charged a lot of money, didn't do great work. And I was like, geez, I can do a better job than him. I could build this project. I could do this thing. And why do I need to pay him so much money to do such a lousy job? So the very first step and the context around this is you've got to solve a problem for somebody in a unique way or fashion. Think Amazon books, like, right? Amazon started out selling books. They wanted to have the world's largest collection of books. They wanted to deliver those books. So they started with a very narrow and fine focus and delivered a thing of value to their particular customers. So that's step one. What am I going to do to deliver value to my end users or customers that is just different than everyone else? What problems am I going to solve? Now, here's what's really important about this. The larger the problem you solve, the more revenue potential that you can actually build. So if you're solving a problem for every human, all 7 billion of us, guess what? You can have a really big business. If you're solving a problem for the people in your community, you're going to have a smaller business. So the opportunity is, how many people can I serve and how many people can I solve a problem for? That's context and step number one. This is number two. It's serve your clients at a wow level. Now, a lot of people can start a business and a lot of people can get clients, but there's a second step in building business and revenue above $1 million, which is serving your clients at a really high level. Most businesses are referral or repeat, which means, you know, a friend told you or a cousin or somebody said, hey, Daniel can help you. And so in the beginning, when you're solving problems for people in your network or people in your town, you're looking for referrals and people who need a problem solved by your service or product, and therefore they refer you to your business. So the number two thing is you have to serve your customers at a wow level. Like, you have to be super engaged, understand exactly what they desire and need from your business or your service or your products, and you have to serve them at a super high level. This is what will allow you to get from $250 to $500,000 in revenue, is really wowing your clients. And think about every time you go into a business, how it feels, what it looks like, whether you buy more of their product or service. These are the intangible things that are hard to explain, but when you're a consumer, you know they're there. So the number two step and the context around the number two step is just, if you're going to solve a problem or serve a particular market or go after a product or a service, what you want to do is you want to serve them at a really high level. If you're going to be a builder and you're going to build houses, build the best damn houses you can possibly build for your customers so that they are wowed by it. It doesn't mean over deliver or spend so much money that you lose money. It just means do a really good job for your customers and make them wow. So the number three thing is, once you've solved a problem and you clearly are delivering a wow experience for your customers, what happens, and I remember when this happened for me, is you lose track of all the steps that are required to do a really great job. And around $300,000-$400,000 in revenue, what happens is you just can't simply remember everything in your brain. So you have to actually buy systems and processes. So you, at this point, you're actually creating a tech stack, meaning you've got a website, you have a CRM, you have a payment processor, you have some sort of customer service platform. At this step, you're actually building systems and processes so that others inside of your business can serve your clients at the same level that you have already set. Remember, number two, you've got to wow your customers. Well, you have to bring in employees and people to work with you, whether they're vendors or not, so that they wow their employees. The way you do that is you outline the step-by-step process to serve your customers at a really high level. So the number three step is just bring your tech stack in, set up a system and process, and make sure everyone is satisfied who's a customer and buying your service or product. Number four is build a flywheel. Now, this is really important. Most small local businesses never actually cross the $500,000 mark because they never master the idea of sales and marketing. They never build a flywheel, which I'm going to explain what a flywheel is. If you spend money to acquire one customer and that one customer buys your product or service one time, well, that's not a flywheel. That's not a great product or service. That's not a great business. But what you want is when you serve one customer and you wow them really well and you have a tight system and process, meaning your tech stack allows you to communicate with your customers, that one customer can refer you two or three other customers. Those customers can refer you two or three other customers. That's called a referral waterfall. So the number four thing is build that sales and marketing flywheel that throws off additional customers every time you acquire a new customer. And I'll give you some examples here because it's really important. One, you're creating a website. That probably means that you're building content for your audience. So remember, you originally, the number one thing is you got to solve problems for your customers. So your content needs to be around solving problems for your customers. Your content needs to be around how the world is better, the sun is brighter, the grass is greener, everything's better when you're a customer of mine. So your marketing content is attracting customers, and your sales and the way you're servicing your customers create referrals. That's what a marketing and sales flywheel is. It's repeat referral and growing revenue. Now, this is the big deal because this is what will enable you to get from $500,000 to $1 million. And most people undervalue this. I was talking to a really big private equity person. He's had a couple like 9 and 10 figure exits, which is a big deal. And he's buying up businesses right now to kind of glom them together and then resell them for double or triple the value that he paid for them. And I was asking him why he doesn't want to run the businesses. He goes like, it's hard. It's hard as a founder to grow revenue. It's hard to build teams. It's hard to grow revenue. And he just wanted nothing to do with it. And here's the unique thing. Most businesses, 96% of them, never cross $1 million. And it's usually because they fail to understand how to market and how to sell to their existing demographics of clients and how to make an opportunity that's big enough so they can go national or find, you know, a big enough market that they can actually serve and solve problems for. So this number four, the flywheel, sales and marketing flywheel, is really, really important, and you need to focus all your energy and effort. This will be the hardest hump to cross. This will be the hardest chasm to go over because it just simply is difficult to learn. And as an entrepreneur, what happens is you solve a problem, you learn exactly how to build a great home, and then what you have to do is you have to learn another type of thing. You have to learn how to sell and market, which is not building a great home, right? If you're a builder and you build great homes, that's one skill set. But selling and marketing is building a whole new skill set. And this is why most businesses never cross the $1 million mark, because entrepreneurs have to be like chameleons. They have to change, they have to learn, they have to grow. And this is just one of the harder skill sets to learn. So that's number four, sales and marketing. It is the thing, it's the air that we breathe. New customer acquisition is a big deal, and this is the place that most people fall down. Number five, which is really big, this is another really big deal, is your team. So the team that you build and talent that you bring into the company is the number five thing, because what happens is you need somebody to build that house so that you can go out and learn how to sell and market. And this is the challenge, right? So you've got to replace yourself inside of the business and get out of the production. Most people fail to want to leverage properly. They want to hold on to everything. I remember when I was earlier on in business, I called this a helicopter delegator. I'd like ask somebody to do something and then I'd hover on top. Did you do it? Did you do it? Did you do it? This is the skill set that you have to develop. You have to develop an understanding of how to select talent, then you have to build an understanding of how to lead talent, and then you have to build an understanding of how to hold them accountable to do the work at the same or a higher level than when you were doing the work. And that's the difficulty. I have this saying in our business, I want our employees to serve our customers exactly the way I would. And that's a very difficult and tall order. That's why it's the goal in our business, because what we want is little mini me's out there, not only selling the same way, but marketing the same way and servicing the same way as if it was me actually with the customers. And so this number five thing is actually a skill set that you have to learn over and over and over. Okay, so vendors and partners are number six. And I'm going to explain this one because it's a big deal. Number one, I know a lot of businesses who have hired the wrong vendors and therefore failed at business, had major setbacks, lost money. The funniest story about this I've ever had is the electrician. I hired an electrician to do this project one time. And he calls me on a Friday afternoon. He's like, hey man, the IRS has frozen my bank account and I can't make payroll, so I'm selling a ton of stuff. And he couldn't make payroll because he had the wrong CPA and the wrong bookkeeper. So number six is know your vendors and partners at a really high level and make sure they are world class. It's not that expensive to have a bookkeeper keep your books. It's not that expensive to actually have an insurance broker who's a professional in your industry and serves the largest players. That's actually some of my criteria for choosing the right vendor partners. You want somebody who's an expert in your industry. You want somebody who's serving the biggest players in your local or national markets, meaning they do this kind of work, whether you're hiring a CPA, an insurance person, a real estate person to help you find an office space, a mortgage person because you need some financing, whatever, banking. I mean, simply banking at the right bank for your industry. The bank that understands your industry and how you solve problems for your customers, that could be a game changer. So the number six is choose your vendors and partners wisely. One of the things at MyOutDesk is we call ourselves the family table, and we treat our employees, our customers, and our vendors as if they have a seat at the table, meaning we want them to be involved in our business. We see many of our vendors as partners to our business because they serve some aspects of either our clients or our virtual professionals. So the number six thing is choose wisely who you use, like CRM, like, oh my gosh, I have this client who implemented an ERP. And for those that don't know what an ERP, it's like a financial services CRM for a business. And when you get to a certain level, this business was at $70, $80 million when they implemented it, but they lost $5 million and it's taken them 5 years to implement this ERP. And I just saw this guy a couple weeks ago and he's like, I hate my ERP and I wish we would have never done it and it's never worked for our business and it sucks. So even choosing the right technology partners is a really big deal. This gets you to $1 million. There's nothing else. Like a lot of people try to complicate this or make it, you know, impossible, but it's really not. Know your market, know your customer, solve a problem, really serve them at a high level, understand, you know, the technology that you need in order to get the process, build that sales and marketing kind of strength and process in your business, make sure you have the right people on your team and get the right vendors and partners to help you grow your revenue. You do those six things and you will grow revenue. You'll cross $1 million and it's not overly complicated. The first million is actually the hardest. And that's the thing, because there's so much transformation and thought process into actually building that first business and crossing that first milestone. Once you cross $1 million, it's a lot easier to get to two. It's a lot easier to get to five and to 10. But that first million feels, you know, painful and it's really difficult. And 96% of the people never cross it. But it's not impossible. If you follow those six things, you will do it. And it's not simple, but it's not complicated either, meaning it's absolutely doable. And so if you decide to go on this journey, just realize the real work for you as an entrepreneur is the consistent feeling of absolute turmoil internally to transform every time you hit a new goal. Your first goal is 1 million, your next goal is 10, the next is 50, the next is 100 million. And every single time you actually achieve your goal, you as the entrepreneur have to transform. And that's the challenge. That's what it means to be an entrepreneur. And it's fantastic. Adding value to your customers, adding value to the employees, adding value to like the whole world, meaning solving problems that are big, hard, and hairy. That's what it is to be an entrepreneur, and it's super fun, it's super exciting, and if you're not excited by that, do not become an entrepreneur. It is not a game for the weak, it's not a game for the people who do not want to self-reflect and grow as a human, because to be quite honest, that should be the definition of being an entrepreneur.